Good morning. Well, I hear you had a wonderful time yesterday, those who went to Coombe Abbey. Thank you, Danai and Mandla. It sounds like it was a wonderful afternoon. Yeah, no. And you only had to move once. The weather was kind, because I know in previous years you've had to cancel, but I know the weather was kind and it was reasonably cool for you. So yeah, I'm glad everyone had a wonderful time. And I'm sorry I couldn't be there, but it sounds great. Here are the notices for this week. On Wednesday the 22nd of July, a prayer meeting at 8 p.m. on Zoom. On Friday the 24th of July, the church cafe, 10 a.m. in the church hall, and the craft group at 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. And next Sunday, the 26th of July, our Sunday service at 11 a.m. will be led by David DePledge and Worship Warriors at 11 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Now, I believe Joanne, where's Joanne? Joanne's going to come forward and tell us about her outreach.
Thanks. Me again, I'm going on outreach. So this time is really local. I don't need my passport. no foreign language, unless Glaswegian is a foreign language. But I'll be joining again with Operation Mobilization OM for a week of outreach in Glasgow, as it says. And it's going to be mainly street evangelism. So it'll be different activities, talking to people, trying to engage them in conversations. So there'll be a kind of like, I think the interactive art, I have no idea what it is. And then there'll be a prayer station for people who want to be prayed for, who appreciate prayers. And then also another stall before giving away water, free water bottles. And then hopefully the people will not just take the water bottle, but will actually chat, and then we can explain why we're doing all that. So yeah, so please do pray for good conversations on the streets with people. And I know that we're being hosted by some churches in Glasgow, but I've tried to get information to find how many churches are involved in this outreach. And I haven't received a reply yet. But as the situation in Scotland is probably similar to the rest of the UK, and the church attendance has been in decline. So the people might consider themselves Christians, but actually are not really practicing Christians. So we do pray that this cooperation of trying to work with the churches will actually stir up the interest, and also for people to return to the Lord, because apparently there's actually been reported that more young people are now since COVID have taken interest in spiritual matters, and hopefully that spiritual will be towards Christ. So I'll be there for until the 1st of August, and after that I will be making my way to Aberdeen as part, because the OM ship, the Logos Hope, is actually at the moment in Edinburgh. They have been in London, and then they're now in Edinburgh, and then it'll be going to from the 27th to the 5th of August will be in Aberdeen. So I'll be making my way to Aberdeen and see what I can do. But I'm basically also going there for an ex-OMers kind of a get-together conference. Now the whole, I'm using this opportunity also to mention about the Logos Hope, the tour of UK. They call that a wave of hope. Because the OM actually tries as much as possible to work in conjunction with churches to keep the flame going, and also to act as a catalyst for churches to get involved in evangelism. So this this wave of hope tour is mainly that. And also, just on Thursday, I joined in an OM Global prayer meeting on Zoom, and there was a report about the London tour when they were docked in London. They were actually, before they even got to London, there were some problems. Tugboats that were supposed to take them through the Thames, got diverted elsewhere, so they were stranded for 2 days in the channel, and of course all the programs had to be cancelled. And so when they finally got into London, it was a bit dismal for churches coming and participation and all that. But an influencer turned up. I don't know whether you know what influencers are. It's not the flu, but it's the people who influence through on social media. She turned up, not a Christian, and she gave very good review of the tour of the ship, and the ship is actually a floating book exhibition, and it has been going on for years in different countries that would not normally open the doors to for Christian evangelism. But this influencer gave a very good review, and the website, the Logos Hope website, got a million hits, just from that people. So people, for once I'm saying, well done to influencers. But they got a million hits, and so their attendance started soaring, and so it was good then in a way, because that we see God turned a bad situation into something good. And the people who came after on the recommendation of these influencers were mainly non-Christians and Muslims, who were living around London. Many of them came, and they got to hear the gospel, they got the message. So hopefully then they'll continue to get good reviews from Edinburgh and also then in Aberdeen. So I'll be going there, and then after that heading back to Coventry. Now, I know I talked yesterday to a few, some people about the Logos Hope will be then going to Belfast, but then they're going to be in Liverpool in November, and actually I would like to take a group there to visit and to get some encouragement and see what they do. So this is my next outreach, get you guys up to Liverpool and see how the Lord is working. Okay, I just want to finish by saying that some people asking me, why are you doing this at your age? I'm not exactly young. I don't feel old, but I'm not young. And why am I doing all that? But it's because of my age that I realize I haven't got. I don't know what my expiry date is. I have no idea. But I want to just know now that I'm retired, no work from, stress from work, no nothing. I want to actually use my time, whatever time is left, for the Lord. So that's why I'm getting back into this. And this is a poem that I read when I was a young Christian from C.T. Studd, who was a missionary and a well-known cricketer and who came from a wealthy background and gave it all up to become a missionary. There's a poem which maybe you like to look at yourself. It's only one life, it'll soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, that's one of my motivation is.
Well, you are motivated. Let's hope you motivate us a little bit more. I'd like to pray for you, Joanne.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so let's pray for Joanne. Heavenly Father, we lift up Joanne as she steps out in faith to share your love and serve your kingdom as part of the OM team working alongside the local churches and ministries in Glasgow, supporting their outreach. Grant Joanne boldness to proclaim your truth without fear, and compassion to meet the needs of those she's working with and those in the public spaces, listening, answering questions and offering prayer. Guide her and use her creative gifts to connect with people and share the message of hope and love in Christ. Keep her safe on the journey to Glasgow as she navigates public transport during her stay and when working on the Glasgow streets. Be with her as she meets the team and when staying with the church hosts in the accommodation. Open the hearts of those she meets to receive the message of salvation and remove barriers of fear, doubt or resistance. Let her presence be a living testimony of your love, bringing hope, healing and transformation to those in need. Be alongside her as she shares the love of Christ with both residents and international visitors. Fill her with your Holy Spirit, wisdom and courage, and let every word and action reflect your grace and compassion. Heavenly Father, guide, protect and empower Joanne as she goes forth in outreach. Amen.
Amen.
And let us continue to have Joanne in our prayers and her time in Glasgow and Aberdeen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I'd like to welcome John to lead us in our worship this morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm wondering how alert we are this morning. I guess some of you may have stayed up as late as I did last night, but it was worth it. Hey, 10 goals. Wow. So we may get tired, but God doesn't. Okay, God does not grow tired. He doesn't grow weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. And so our call to worship comes from Romans chapter 11, where it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and inscrutable his ways. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen."
Amen.
So that opening passage, it gives us a sense of the vastness of God. And our opening song, I think it captures how great our God is, immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes.
Thank you.
So let us commit this meeting to the Lord in prayer. It is indeed an awesome thought that you are immortal, invisible, and God only wise. You fill the heavens, Lord, and yet you are interested in us. We sometimes feel insignificant, and yet we know that you love us. You have loved us with an everlasting love. And so you came down to redeem us. And so we thank you, Lord, with all our hearts because of your great love for us. And it sometimes amazes us that you would choose to dwell among us. And even now, as we gather together, you have promised your presence with us. And so I pray, Lord, that we would feel your touch this morning. You would touch our hearts. You would awaken us if we are dull, and that you would inspire us to be more like you. And for those who are not able to be with us this morning, perhaps they're still on holiday, I pray, Lord, that you would give them a real good time of refreshing and a time to draw nearer to you. And those who are not feeling too well, I pray, Lord, that you would be with them also, that they would know your comfort and your warming touch. And so, Lord, no matter where we are, help us, Lord, to reach out to you as the God who loves us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The author of the last book of the Bible, who wrote Revelation, saw images that were literally out of this world. But way before these heavenly visions, he saw the Lord Jesus himself. We're talking about the Apostle John. He saw Jesus face to face with his own eyes. And that is what changed his life forever. And thousands of years later to today, our lives can also be changed if our eyes are open, the eyes of our hearts, to the Lord Jesus. And this, I believe, is a prayer for our next song, where it says, "Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart."
Thank you.
At this point in our service, we'll take up our gifts and offerings. Dear Lord, we do pray that you would be the very center of our lives. And Lord, as we give these gifts, may they really be a gift from our hearts. May they be from glad and cheerful hearts, for you love a cheerful giver. And I pray, Lord, that along with these gifts, we would gladly give our very lives as a daily sacrifice to you. And so we just pray, Lord, for the stewards of this church, you would guide them with wisdom on how to use it for the extension of your kingdom. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our Bible reading this morning is from the Apostle John's first letter, 1 John, and we'll be starting from verse 1.
Which was from the beginning,
that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declared to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen.
Thank you for that. So in our next song, I think it captures really beautifully what we just read there, how Jesus came down from heaven to be our righteousness and our peace, our one and only hope. What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? And how his divine light guides us through the darkness. As the song goes on to say, the night is dark, but through the deepest valley he will lead. And how through life's journey he pleads for us. And we might say these days, he's got your back. For it says, to this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. And ultimately, this song tells us that we have the victory, not because of our self-effort, but because of God's grace. Oh, how strange and divine. I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. So it was 9 months ago, 9 months ago that I watched my daughter getting baptised. I can still see the water ring down her face. I can still see the joy in her eyes. And as a father, I don't think there is a greater joy than seeing your own child stepping into that deeper faith, deeper walk with Christ. And that word, joy, is exactly where the Apostle John begins his letter. He says that he wrote it so that our joy may be complete. And yes, I come to you this morning with a three-point sermon. But this isn't just another three-point sermon. And this isn't even an M&S sermon. Today, I'm going to step into the voice of the final eyewitness of Jesus so that we can hear his heart, so that together we can capture a glimpse of the weight, the wonder, the urgency which John had intended to convey to his original listeners. So we're going to walk through three sections in John's opening chapter: life revealed in Christ, walking in the light, and the advocate we have in heaven. And as you know, my name really is John, but today I would love you to feel the heartbeat of the other John. And so, just for clarification, you're going to hear me calling you children quite a lot. Well, that's your cue that I'm stepping into the voice of John the Apostle. And why children? It's because he uses this address throughout his letter, not to talk down to his readers, but as an old pastor, speaking with affection to those he loves and deeply cares for. So are you sitting comfortably? Then let's begin. My dear children, I'm old now. My hair is thin. My hands tremble when I write. Oh, but the memories. The memories of my Lord, they have not faded in the slightest. They are as clear to me as if they happened only yesterday. I was there when the Word of Life walked among us. I heard his voice calling my name. I saw his face shine like the sun on the sacred mountain. I leaned into him so close that I felt his breath at the Last Supper. I watched him die as the Lamb of God. I saw him risen as the Son of God. And so, my dear children, I tell you these things not as just stories, but as truth. Truth that I touched with my own hands. The life appeared. Eternal life himself stood before me. And I'm proclaiming to you now this morning so that you may share in the fellowship that I found. Fellowship with the Father and with his Son, the Lord Jesus. And this is what makes our joy complete. So we see there that John, he begins his letter not with commands, not with instruction, not with moral demands, but with personal testimony. And that's important for us because Christianity is not just a set of rules or beliefs. It's not a tradition that we just inherit from our parents. It is life to the full. It is a relationship with the Father and with the Son. You see, Christianity, it doesn't start with our behavior. It doesn't begin with our best efforts. It begins with God's revelation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and I have seen his glory, says John. He is saying that I saw him, I touched him, I walked alongside him. And so we're not just talking theories this morning. This isn't just philosophy. This is reality. Reality for John. And the amazing thing is, it can be just as much a reality for us today. And John's purpose in writing this letter, it is both simple and beautiful, that we may share in the same fellowship that he had with Christ. So he's not writing this letter to impress us. He's not writing to intimidate us. He is writing to invite us. To invite us into that precious relationship that he had with Jesus. The same joy, the same life. My dear children, when I close my eyes, I can still see him walking along the shores of Galilee. I can still hear his voice and the breakers, the waves behind him. And I can still feel the warmth of the fire that he built for us after his resurrection. I remember the firmness in his voice when he rebuked, and yet the tenderness in his eyes when he reinstated my brother. Now, I didn't deny him as Peter did, but I knew fear. I knew what it was to run away from the Lord when I really should have stood by him. But thankfully, I also know the mercy of the risen Lord who restored me. And so, dear children, I write to you as the last living witness, not to glorify myself, but to glorify my Lord. The life appeared. And my prayer is that you would know him as I knew him. So there is something profoundly human about the way John begins his letter. Remember, he is the original son of thunder. He doesn't start with stern truths or doctrines. He starts with personal experience, with true life encounters with the Lord Jesus. So before we move to the next section of John's letter, hold on to this. John begins with joy. He begins with invitation. He begins with the word of life made touchable. Because everything else, the confession, the cleansing, the forgiveness, the fellowship, all flows from this foundational truth. Jesus Christ is real. And he is alive today. So in this second section, John moves from testimony to proclamation. He shifts from what he has seen to what he has heard. And what he has heard isn't just rumors, but the message from the lips of Jesus himself. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. This is the foundation of everything that follows. This is the lens through which John now sees the world. This is the truth that exposes every lie, even the lies we tell ourselves. My dear children, this is the message that we heard from him. And now declare to you that God is light. You know, I remember the first time he said that. We were walking near the temple. The sun was setting behind those great stones. And the shadows were long across the courtyard. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I didn't understand it back then, not fully, but I caught a glimpse. I saw the way his presence exposed the truth in every heart. I saw the way that sinners were drawn to him and the proud convicted by him. I saw the way darkness fled from him as dawn dispels the night. You see, in Christ, there is no darkness, no deceit, no corruption, no hidden motive. Dear beloved, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie. We do not live out the truth. So John there, he's not being harsh, he's being honest. You see, walking in darkness, it doesn't mean that we're struggling, doesn't mean that we stumble or we're having a bad day. See, walking in darkness means that you are choosing the shadows. You are choosing secrecy. You are choosing self-deception. And so John, he explains it really clearly. He says, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie. It's not a case of we're mistaken. It's not that we are confused. It's not that we're imperfect. You know, I'm only human. We lie. Why is this? It is because fellowship with God is fellowship with light. And light exposes what the darkness hides. But dear children, hear this. Walking in the light is not walking in perfection. If that were so, I would have no hope. None of us would. Walking in the light means walking with honesty, with openness, walking with our hearts inclined towards God. And when we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I've lived long enough to see how sin isolates, how shame divides, how secrecy builds walls between brothers and sisters. Well, I have also seen how confession heals, how honesty restores, how the light brings us together. And so, my dear children, do not fear the light. It is not your enemy, it is your healing. John then turns to the most important truths about understanding ourselves. A truth, I think, that is worth repeating lest we forget. And the truth is, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You see, it's all very easy to minimize our own sin, you know, to compare ourselves with others, to justify our behavior, to hide behind excuses. But John says that pretending we have no sin, that doesn't make us righteous. It just makes us deceived. But John's letter, he doesn't leave us there. He corrects that wayward thinking with a reassuring promise. A beautiful promise that has carried countless believers through their guilt, shame, and fear. And that promise is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Faithful, meaning that he will do exactly as he has promised. Just, meaning that forgiveness is not just a band-aid, it is the finished work of the cross. Purify, meaning that he doesn't just forgive the guilt, he washes away the stain. This isn't reluctant forgiveness. This isn't conditional forgiveness. And neither is it just partial forgiveness. No, this is the forgiveness of a loving Heavenly Father who runs towards his prodigal child with arms open wide and heart full of joy. My dear children, if we claim we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I've seen pride destroy many people. I've seen people cling to their reputation and lose their souls. I've seen leaders hide their sin until it consumed them. I've seen others refusing to confess and the darkness overwhelmed them. And so my plea to you is this.
Do not pretend to be without sin. Do not make God out to be a liar. Do not try and hide from the one who sees all things. Instead, come into the light. It is the only place you'll find clarity, healing, and life. So John there, he's not trying to shame us. He's trying to free us. See, this light, it is not a spotlight of condemnation. It is a ray of hope. And just like sunlight, God's light cleanses what it touches. See, walking in the light means humility, honesty, confession, which leads to our cleansing, fellowship, and joy. And all of this flows from the character of God. God is light. He is faithful. He is just. He forgives. He cleanses. He reconciles us back to himself. And so in the third part, we'll hear John's final truth in this section. The truth that holds everything together. And that is, we have an advocate. So we've heard John speak about the word of life made touchable. We've heard him speak about God as pure light. We heard him speak how confession and cleansing restores us. The importance of truth, absolute truth. And so now, in part three, John turns to the heart of the gospel. This is the reason that we can walk in the light without fear. The reason confession is safe for us. The reason forgiveness is certain is because we have an advocate. Not an accuser who condemns us, but an advocate who restores us. My dear children, I, John, write these things so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. You know, I've lived long enough to see many advocates in this world. You know, many who speak on behalf of others, many who defend the weak, and those who plead for mercy, but none speak like our dear Saviour. No other carry the authority that he carries. None other bears the wounds that he has. None other stands before the Father with nail-pierced hands and says, Father, I have redeemed this one who never felt good enough, but I have made them more than enough. You see, he understands your weaknesses. He knows your temptations. He feels your struggles. And so he intercedes for you with genuine, heartfelt sympathy. He himself is our atoning sacrifice, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. John, there, he uses a legal term, the word advocate. Someone who stands beside you, who speaks for you. Someone who defends you and presents you, represents you. But Jesus is much more than your advocate in a courtroom. He is your sacrifice. He is your righteousness. He is your friend. He is your brother. The disciple whom Jesus loved wants you to know that you are not alone in your sin. You are not abandoned in your weaknesses. You are not left to justify yourself. You see, you have an advocate in heaven who pleads your case. And he's not pleading for mercy on the basis of your best efforts. He stands before the Father as a sacrificial lamb who paid the price in full. Dear children, I remember the day that he died. It was midday, and yet it turned dark. The ground beneath me trembled. The sound of his final cry, I'll never forget. It is finished. And I tell you now, the one who died for you now lives for you. The one who bore your sins now speaks for you. The one who conquered death now defends you. And so do not fear the light. Don't hide in the shadows, but carry your guilt not alone, but bring it to the foot of the cross. Lay your burdens at his feet and be free, truly free. So John, he's not saying try harder. He's not saying be better, earn your place. His message is come into the light, because the one who meets you there is not your accuser. He is your advocate.
No, my children, my strength is waning. My steps are slow. My sight is fading. But the light of Christ has never dimmed. It only grows brighter day by day. Yes, this world is a dark place. I've felt its hatred. I've watched false teachers deceive congregations. I've watched the enemy sow seeds of doubt and fear and division. I've even watched believers fall away. But ultimately, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so that's all the more reason to walk in the light, dear children. Walk in the truth. And when you stumble, as we all do, remember this. You have an advocate in heaven.
So let me draw to a close. When I watched Abby, my daughter, rise from the waters of baptism, I felt that joy that John speaks of, this unspeakable joy made complete when someone encounters the true life in Christ. The life that touched John is the life that touched Abby, my daughter, and the life that can touch any one of us if you put your trust in the Lord Jesus. And then you can be encouraged, truly encouraged, that you are loved, you are forgiven, you are cleansed, and you are restored.
My dear beloved children, come. Come now and walk with me in the light of the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. That is the opening line of our closing song. Thank you.
Dear Lord, thank you for coming down from on high and rescuing us. Thank you, Lord, for engraving my name on your hands. And now I know that while in heaven you stand, no tongue can bid me hence depart. For God the just is satisfied to look on you and pardon me. As my perfect, spotless righteousness, I thank you, Lord, that I am now one with yourself and I cannot die. So help me to live victoriously, to walk in the light, and to shine your love wherever I go. Amen.